footsteps outside the door. Then I jumped up like a madman. And it came over me that the footsteps were my jailers. They were coming for me, to kill me. I was condemned to die.
Will you hurry? Drink your coffee. I told them you'd be right
down.
Yeah,
but the coffee's so hot. There's a cup for you, Joe.
No.
And then, these guards came into my cell and dragged me from the bars. There were four guards in gray uniforms. There was also a tin priest. Now, everything was very quiet. All the other prisoners shut up. They watched me from behind their cell doors. I could feel their eyes burning at me. I could hear my feet shuffle, shuffle along the floor. I felt so weak.
No, you don't. Have another cup. Give me that pot.
But it would help clear my head a little. After a dream like that.
Get your clothes on. That will clear your head.
In a minute. I'm just trying to remember.
Remember what?
Why they were electrocuting me. What I had done.
Oh, what an idiot. He worries about his dream.
I suppose it's silly. But that is the trouble with dreams. They tell you one little thing, and it is so real. But the rest of the story, they keep it to themselves.
But are you going to stand around here talking all day?
No, I was just going. I'll be right down. Charlotte? I don't want to disturb you, Charlotte.
You can't come in. I'm scrubbing this kitchen, and I don't want you making tracks across my floor.
I know, Charlotte. I wouldn't want to mark your nice, clean floor. It's only my coffee.
Go down to the drugstore for your coffee.
It's closed on Sundays.
So? I told you when we were having breakfast.
I know, but 8 o'clock. It's such an early hour for Sunday. And Uncle Miklos kept the store open last night till 11.
You didn't come home last night at 11.
A little glass of beer at Kleinman's. Would you begrudge me that after I was on my feet till 11 o'clock at night? Please, Charlotte. I don't feel so good this morning, either.
Naturally, after Kleinman.
I'm not sleeping so good. Not all week. I'm having the same bad dreams.
Yeah, always some excuse.
But it's true. Do you remember? I told you I dreamed I was electrocuted. I was in that cell. Well, every night now, for a week, I have been dreaming about that cell.
So what?
And in one corner, there's a bed. Two magazines, the Look magazine and the Hungarian Weekly. I can see them just as clear as if they were in this kitchen.
Well, move those chairs out of the way. I want to scrub under the table.
Don't you think that's very queer, Charlotte?
What's queer?
To dream all that. Every night.
Ah, who cares about dreams? They're all the junk in your head.
Ah, but it is very clear, just the same, to be there night after night. Oh, yes. Last night, Uncle Miklos was there, too.
Huh? What?
I mean, in the dream. He came to see me in my cell. Wasn't that queer?
I don't see anything so queer about that.
Can you imagine Uncle Miklos giving me anything?
That's a fine thing to say. Who brought you to America? Who gave you the job in the delicatessen?
I didn't mean that way, Charlotte. I meant...
What did you mean?
I meant... Well, Uncle Miklos is always so careful with food in the delicatessen. But in the dream, it was a very nice roast chicken in the dream. With plenty of breast and stuffing. And Uncle Miklos even had a bottle opener in his basket to open up the schnapps. He kept telling me to eat. Eat! Eat, Bella! He kept saying. Stuff yourself! I can hear how he said it. You only got another month to live. Maybe I should go to see a doctor. He should give me a thorough checkup.
Maybe you should go to a fortune teller, too. Lots of places will be glad to take your money. If you only got the money.
Might be a good idea.
Only you don't got the money.
But, Charlotte...
Will you keep your dirty feet off my nice clean floor?
I'm sorry, Charlotte. I'll wipe it off.
Oh, get out, will you? Go down to been here for by the radio in the middle of the afternoon yet.
Well, what time is it?
4 o'clock. Why aren't you in the store?
I just came up here for a nap.
A nap? In the middle of the day? Where is Uncle Miklos?
Uncle Miklos went out. There was no customers. I was very tired. But if it is 4 o'clock, Uncle Miklos was coming back at 3.
So Uncle Miklos was coming back at 3? Now you're in a fine mess, a fine, nice mess.
Well, maybe he's not back yet.
Hey, and what's this bottle of beer doing under the sofa?
What bottle of beer?
So, that's why you were so tired. Why you didn't hear me. Why the radio was playing so loud I could hear it halfway down the street. Drunk.
Oh, please, Charlotte. It was so hot. And I wasn't really drunk. I was only asleep. I was having a terrible nightmare.
Where did you get this bottle? From Kleinman's? Or from Uncle Miklos's store?
From the store. But I will pay him back, Charlotte. Now listen to my heart. How it's still pounding. How can a man wake up quickly when he's dreaming he's on trial for his life? Think of it. 1,000 people looking at you, and the judge with his black cap on, and the jury standing there, and then one of them getting up and pointing. And you hear the words, clear, clear. Guilty. Bela Bozniak is guilty. And is condemned to death.
How many times do I have to tell you never to touch anything in that store that belongs to Uncle Miklos?
Charlotte, why should they say I am guilty?
Because you are. You are guilty of stealing Uncle Miklos' bottle of beer and cheating on your time in that store. Naps yet. Naps. Like a millionaire. And how do I know what other things you are guilty of? Maybe you steal from the cash register. Who knows? Maybe you stuff yourself full of blutwurst and pickles when Uncle Miklos is not looking. Maybe you insult the
Charlotte.
Customers.
What a terrible thing to say.
I know what I hear from Uncle Miklos.
What do you hear from Uncle Miklos?
Lots of things. But all I got to say to you, Bela Bozniak, is you better watch your step from now on. You better behave yourself.
Why?
You heard me.
It's no use, Charlotte. It's no use. I got to see a doctor or something.
Oh, get out of that bed, lazy good-for-nothing.
Charlotte, I'm really sick. I must have a growth in my brain.
Yeah, there's always something the matter with you when it comes time
to
work.
Nobody keeps on dreaming the same dream night after night. Nobody. With a normal mind in his head.
Keep quiet. I don't want to hear about your dreams.
Always, always, I got this terrible guilt in me. Like a pain. All night long, I'm running away. I'm hiding from people who are trying to catch me.
So why do you run? Why don't you get caught?
I am on the streetcar, riding under the L down Third Avenue. There are lots of people. I'm squeezing myself tight up against the window, turning my face out so no one will recognize me. I am pulling my coat collar up around my face and my cap down over my eyes. I am wearing dark glasses. I am running along the Lightstone Bridge. It's summer. A bright, glaring day. I am like a little black speck on the big steel bridge. And over my head, they are looking at me from airplanes. And under the bridge, they are watching me from boats. The automobiles are racing after me, honking their horns. Far, far ahead, at the end of the bridge, I see the man at the toll gate, waiting to stop me. He's a tall man with glasses, a brown overcoat, bald. His name is Mr. Treiner. Please, Charlotte, don't do that.
Maybe if the covers are off you, you will shut your mouth and get out of that bed.
I can't. I'm too weak.
Lazy, good for nothing. Get up!
Over to the doctor.
So you were over to the doctor. I wish you joy to the doctor's. And what did the doctor do for you, millionaire?
Nothing.
Nothing. $3 he pays to the doctor for a visit, and the doctor does nothing for him. Wonderful.
Dr. Stumpfogel is not a mind doctor. It's for the stomach and the heart. He knows nothing about the brain.
Oh, so now he figures that out. Dr. Stumpfogel is not a mind doctor. Now, after he throws away the $3.
He gave me these pills.
Yeah, medicine already. How much did they cost?
They are sleeping pills. I don't need sleeping pills. I don't want to go to sleep.
So in this case, then, why did you buy them?
I am afraid to sleep. Every time I sleep, there is that Mr. Toyner waiting for me again. He is everywhere. Beside the ash cans and the air shaft, on the fire escape, in the hallway behind the baby carriages. I even dream he's in the delicatessen. He's looking over the counter at me like a customer. He's hiding behind the herring barrels.
Hey, give me those pills. You didn't take any yet, did you?
He's even in Kleinman's. He's sitting there in the back room drinking a glass of beer and looking out the plate glass for me to go by. His face is green and red in the neon sign going on and off outside. Now green, now red. Sometimes I hear him whispering.
That's good. It isn't a special prescription. I can take that back to the drugstore. You didn't even open the bottle.
He whispers to somebody about me. He tells people what I have done. And I know it's true. I am guilty. Oh, how I am guilty.
I'll go take that back to the drugstore right now.
But why am I guilty? What have I done? Charlotte, think, think. How could I be guilty? Is it because of Mama? That I left her there hungry and never brought her over like I promised. But you yourself, Charlotte, said there was no room. And the money Uncle Miklos paid me. How could I have brought Mama here to starve? How could I have paid a boat trip when there was nothing for us half the time to pay the rent? But maybe it is Mama cursing me from the grave. Charlotte! Charlotte! Don't leave me alone, please.
Charlotte. Hello, Charlotte. I got good news for you, Charlotte. At last, I just slept.
Huh.
And the dreams, the bad dreams, have gone away. 2 hours, 3 hours, I was sleeping, and there was nothing, just sleep. Isn't that wonderful, Charlotte? I guess I'm cured, eh? You went out and left me alone. I was so tired. But I was afraid to sleep. I went to the park and I lay down on a bench. But the minute I closed my eyes, there was that Mr. Turner again with his face green and red. And then I went over to Kleinman. I had only 2 little beers. The pianola was playing. It was nice and cool and dark.
Charlotte! Charlotte! What is it? Please, Charlotte! You're not that mad at me, are you?
You numbskull! You good-for-nothing shillelagh!
Oh, Charlotte, please, what has happened?
What has happened? You are fired, that is what has happened. Uncle Miklos refuses to put up with you anymore.
What?
He's through with you, do you hear? Through! There is a boy, a high school boy, working in your place full-time.
No, you mean making the potato salad, too?
Yes, making the potato salad, too, and waiting on the customers. Now, loafing on the sidewalk and taking naps and talking like a lunatic and getting drunk every other night. And now what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I will go down and speak to Uncle Miklos.
Ah, he will go speak to Uncle Miklos at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yet he will speak to Uncle Miklos and get thrown out on his ear and go to the hospital and cause more expense.
Uncle Miklos, he will get over it, Charlotte.
Yes, that's what you think. You haven't talked to Uncle Miklos yet.
But Charlotte...
2 days. 2 days! Yes, Uncle Miklos couldn't go to Hoboken to see about the cheesecake. You were lying homesick in bed. With what? With the fever, with the stomach trouble, with the bad leg? No! With dreams! Bad dreams!
Jeff like a baby.
Oh, but Charlotte,
and where are you? When the customers are telephoning for the orders, they should be sent up right away. Upstairs, sleeping, taking a nap. And where are you Friday night, the busiest night in the store? Seeing Dr. Stumphogel, throwing out your good money to a crack. And where are you today, when Uncle Miklos is going to play in the Interbrops Hungarian Checkers Tournament?
Checkers Tournament today?
Yes!
I'm sorry, I forgot.
Drunk, sleeping, in Kleinman's back room.
I wouldn't stay away on purpose, Charlotte.
Yeah, that's all the thanks Uncle Miklos gets. After all he's done for you. I don't blame him. He gave you plenty of rope you should hang yourself with. He closed his eyes to plenty.
I'll apologize. I'll explain to him everything in the morning. He's not unreasonable. After all, he's your uncle, Charlotte.
Too bad for him.
He wouldn't let us starve, Charlotte. Uncle Miklos couldn't.
It's 9 o'clock. How much longer are you going to wait to go down and speak to Uncle Nicholas?
In a minute. I'm going right away. I just got to pull myself together a little.
Yeah, I thought so. You don't talk so brave this morning, do you?
It's not that. It's just... I'm sick. I got those same bad dreams back all over again.
Sure, you got them. Whenever you got something to do you don't want to do, back they come. Wonderful.
No, Charlie. I'm not afraid of Uncle Miklos now. I am afraid of myself.
But don't think I'm such a sucker, Bella. I've listened to you complaining long enough. I don't fall for that same tune forever.
Listen, Charlotte, listen to me just for once. Job can wait a few minutes.
Oh, the job can wait, can that? That's a new one, the job can wait.
I have done something. Maybe I did it in my sleep. Maybe I'm a sleepwalker. Maybe I climbed down the fire escape sometime and went into somebody's kitchen somewhere and committed a murder. I couldn't dream such things all by myself. Last night, I dreamed I'd just killed somebody. It had just made 2 o'clock. I was coming out of a window, climbing out over the sill. It was night. There was a fire escape with flower pots going down into an air shaft. I started to climb down. It was a long way to the ground. I crept down like a monkey. And as I went, I could see into all the dark windows of the flats. A man was eating his supper, and his radio was playing, and a baby was crying. And all the time, I kept holding my breath, afraid they would see me. Because upstairs, there was somebody lying in a room, white, like a kitchen, dead, that I had killed.
Well, shut up!
Lunatic! Shut up with that nonsense, or I'll clap you in the crazy house right now. Now, get downstairs, Uncle Miklos, and get that job back. You hear? Do you hear me, Bella? Did you hear what I said? Look at you, shaking like a leaf. You're an old man already. You're not afraid of Uncle Miklos, not much. You're afraid of everything. Afraid of your own shadow, your own crazy dreams. A fine man I throw myself away on. A fine hero. Dad, what are you looking at me that way for? You don't think I can hit you, huh? You think I'm going to stand around here forever wasting my time on a good for nothing? You think I'm good only to wash your clothes and keep your house clean? You think I got no strength in my hands? I can hurt you worse than that sometime. Much worse. You get your life Well, what are you standing there for then? Are you going down now? Or not?
I am going, Charlotte. I'm going.
Time of night. Making sandwiches. There's no bread for sandwiches. What are you doing with that knife?
I was just dreaming. We had another strange dream, Charlotte.
Get into bed. Put that knife back into the drawer.
I was dreaming. I was washing my hands. Charlotte, over there, in that sink.
So, what?
And they were covered with blood. I was washing this knife, too. Huh? It was covered with blood, too.
Yeah, and... And what's so... What's so strange about that?
It was your blood, Charlotte.
My blood?
Yeah.
Transcribed from Hollywood, The Clock is produced and directed by William Spear, the master of suspense. And tonight starred Jeanette Nolan and Elliot Lewis. This evening's play was written by Lucille Fletcher. The Clock theme was composed by Bernie Green. Our musical director is Basil Adlam. Next week, same time, you will hear Kathy and Elliot Lewis as stars of...
The Clock.
Might be telephoned to name the new mystery melody.
Greetings presents Dimension X. Adventures in time and space. Transcribed in future tense. Dimension X. On stage tonight, Dimension X. Another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations.
I'm thinking of a girl. Very pleasant person, very attractive, too. She has cool hands, a nice voice, and a gentle manner. She's crisp and efficient, but she needs help badly. She's the American nurse, and her problem is this. There just aren't enough like her to go around. Not enough nurses for the hundreds of important nursing careers now open in hospitals, industry, research, the armed forces, and private duty. Now, you may not know the girl I mentioned, but perhaps you know someone very much like her. A young girl with at least a high school diploma, of good health and character. If you do, tell her this. America needs 50,000 student nurses this year. Tell her you think she might be one of them. If she agrees, have her stop in at the hospital nearest to her. She'll never regret it, and neither will you.
Now, tonight's adventure into the world of the unknown, the world of Dimension X. The doll shop stood on a quiet Washington side street, not too far from the sprawling Pentagon building. A woman and a child waited outside, the little girl peering eagerly through the window at the dolls inside, and the woman glancing impatiently at her wristwatch, as if expecting someone who was late for an appointment. And there was nothing about the doll shop to warn them that they were waiting to keep an appointment with Doom.
Yes, what is it, dear?
In the window of the shop, the tiny dolls. Oh, Mommy, do you think Daddy will buy me one?
Well, we'll ask him when he comes, dear. He said 3 o'clock on this corner.
I see him, Mommy. There he is.
Oh, Henry, here we are.
Hello, dear.
Hi.
Sorry I'm late.
Well, we've been waiting for you. Cindy's been
so... I'm afraid I'll have to call off the shopping, Alma.
Oh, Henry, we promised.
Yes, I know.
Cindy.
I'm sorry. It's just one of those things. You've been the wife of an army colonel long enough to know his life isn't his own.
What is it this time?
Oh, some more of that flying sphere nonsense. The pilot who says he sighted it last month crashed and was killed today, so the general wants a full report.
Oh, dear, what next?
Daddy!
We'll have a staff meeting at the Pentagon at 3:15.
Daddy, look in this window.
Oh, I haven't time, dear.
Just for a minute, Daddy, please.
Cindy, I haven't time to stop and watch a bunch of 6-inch dolls parading around in the shop. Say, they are lifelike, aren't they? Look at that, Alma. Dolls are marching around like a regular review. They've even got their own little band.
Henry, your staff meeting.
Hmm? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, I've got to run. Now, look, don't go spending a lot of money on that nonsense, Alma.
No, dear.
Bye.
Bye, dear.
Bye, Cindy.
Bye, Daddy. Oh, Mommy, look. Look, the band's going to play.
Aren't they wonderful, honey? You know, it's funny. I must have stood on this corner 1,000 times, and I've never even noticed this shop before.
Good evening, children.
Oh, well, good evening.
Mommy, he talks awful funny.
Hush, Cindy.
Would you like to step inside the shop of Santo Perigi?
Well, yes, we would.
This way.
Oh, Mommy, it's like fairyland.
Here in the shop of Santo Perigi, creator of Perigi's universal, wonderful dolls, the world of adult reality is blended with the world of child's fantasy.
This is a new shop, isn't it, Mr. Perigi?
What is new and what is old? Come, this way. Would you like to meet one of my little ones?
Oh, yes.
This one in the red jacket is Toto. Speak, little one.
How do you do?
Isn't that wonderful?
Mommy, he talks, the doll talks.
Amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
That is nothing for Perigi's wonderful dolls. Listen, sing, Toto. Sing for the little girl.
Listen.
Sing, Toto.
Men are big and tall. Dolls are very small. When men begin to fall, the dolls will rule them all.
Oh, Lord, Mr. Toto, more. Well, how do they work, Mr. Perigi?
How do they work? Ah, that is the secret of the great Perigi, greatest of all doll masters. To make an ordinary doll is nothing. To make a perfect replica, that is something. But to make a doll with intelligence, that is the work of an artist, huh?
Well, yes. Well, they must be very expensive.
Madame, when I construct a doll like Toto, I cannot bear to be parted from him permanently. So instead of selling, I rent my little people.
You rent dolls?
Precisely. $10. I have but one request. When you grow tired of my dolls, you must return to me in good condition.
Oh, Mommy, could we take him home?
Take him home!
Oh, look, Mommy, look! He's bowing and dancing. Oh, Mommy, he wants to come. Please, I'll take such good care of it, please.
Well, honey, we'll have to deal with your father later, but... Well,
oh, Mommy!
All right, wrap him up, Mr. Perigi. Oh, dear, I have a feeling when your father comes home, we'll be sorry.
Be sorry!
Now, Toto, It's my room, and you're going to sleep right here next to my pillow. Oh, Toto, don't laugh like that. I'm going to have to teach you some manners. You be quiet, because my daddy will be home soon, and he's a colonel in the army, and he'll bust you to private if you don't behave. Now, you wait here. I'm going to introduce you to my puppy dog, Mr. Blister. So be good now. Here, Blister. Here, Blister. Come on, Blister. Come here. Mr. Blister, now this is Toto. Oh, dear, I don't think Mr. Blister likes you, Toto. Stop it, Mr. Blister. Come over here and shake hands with Toto, Mr. Blister. Come on, now.
Over here. Why, what happened, dear?
Mr. Blister tried to bite my doll. Look how frightened Toto is.
Dolls don't get frightened, Cindy.
But he is, Mommy. He screamed.
You just imagined it, honey.
But he did. He did.
Well, Mr. Blister didn't mean it. You know he's the gentlest little pup alive.
He isn't. He's nasty and I hate him.
Cindy, you hurt his feelings.
Okay. He tried to bite my new doll and I don't ever want to see him again. Ever.
Oh, dear. All right, Mr. Blister, you come downstairs with me. Come on now. Cindy's angry at you tonight.
I'll kill him.
Why, Cindy, where did you hear a thing like that?
Toto said it.
Well, I see. Well, you've had an exciting day, honey. You brush your teeth now and go to bed. Daddy's coming home late, so we'll see you in the morning. Hmm? Good night, darling. Sleep well.
I hate him, Mr. Toto. I hate him.
Hate him.
Morning, Alma. Breakfast ready?
Just a minute. How was the staff meeting last night, dear?
Oh, horrible bore as usual. Where's the little one?
Up in her room. She'll be down in a minute.
Oh, say, remind me to take some papers back to the War Department, will you? Mm-hmm. I left them in my strong box.
Henry?
Hmm?
You told me it was against regulations to bring secret papers home.
Well, I had to finish some work for the old man. Nobody will have another difference.
Well, I suppose not.
Oh, dear, would you feed the puppy before we sit down? His bowl's under the sink.
Where is he? That's funny. Here's his supper from last night, only half eaten.
Getting fussy.
Blister? Here, Blister! Blister! Where the dickens is that mutt?
Maybe he's on the back porch.
Oh, maybe. Here, Blister! Alma.
Mm-hmm. What is it, dear?
Alma, look.
Why, Henry. Is he?
Yes, he's dead.
But how? What happened?
Well, from the looks of it, he might have been poisoned.
Poisoned? Who on earth would do a thing like that to an innocent little pup?
I don't know. Let's see his dish.
Oh, Henry.
I don't understand this at all. Say, what's this?
What's what?
Well, look, there are pieces of broken glass in his food. Blue glass.
Glass? Glass. Henry.
Huh?
Well, I just remembered something.
What?
It may just be coincidence, but in the bathroom this morning...
What about the bathroom?
Cindy's blue glass, you know, the one with the Mickey Mouse on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was broken, Henry. I found pieces in the wastebasket. I meant to ask her about it.
Oh, Alma, for heaven's sake, you aren't suggesting that our little girl... Why, she loved Blister more than anyone.
Not last night, she didn't.
Why not?
Well, he went after Toto.
Well, who's Toto?
Oh, her new doll.
You bought her one of those dolls?
Well, I just rented it.
Rented it?
Yes.
Look, Alma.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, all right. What's this got to do with Blister?
He went for the doll, and Cindy... Well, Cindy said... Henry, she said she'd kill him.
What? Well, that's ridiculous.
It's true.
Good heavens, a 9-year-old child putting ground glass in dog food? She'd have to be a monster.
Mommy!
Now, don't say anything. I'll talk to her.
Good morning, dear.
Morning, Mommy.
Morning.
Morning, Daddy.
Hello.
What's the matter?
Nothing, Cindy. Sit down, dear.
Yes, sir.
Cindy, your mother tells me you broke your blue drinking glass.
Oh, no. I didn't break it.
Now, Cindy.
I didn't.
Well, now, somebody broke it. It wasn't your mother and it wasn't me.
Well, then it must have been Toto.
Cynthia.
Cindy, you know Toto was only a doll. Now, a doll couldn't have broken your glass, could he? Well?
But he must have done it, Daddy.
Cindy, you know how Daddy feels about little girls who tell untruths. Now, did you break your glass and maybe accidentally get some pieces into Mr. Blister's dish to sort of punish him for biting your doll?
Oh, no, Daddy.
I'd hate to think you'd done something you knew was wrong and you were blaming it on the doll.
What's the matter with Mr. Blister? Is he sick?
He's dead, Cindy.
Oh, no, he can't be dead. He isn't dead, Daddy. No, he isn't. He isn't. Mommy,
Yes, dear.
But he'll come back. He has to come back.
No, he won't come back, honey.
Not ever.
No, Cindy, not ever.
Now that we've told you, Cindy, do you want to change your mind about the glass?
Let me let alone.
Daddy, you think I killed
him? See what you've done. The child feels guilty enough, Henry.
Oh, dear, this is no time for feelings to interfere.
Feelings don't know any time, honey. When they come, they just come. You go up to your room, honey. Daddy and I'll be up in just a minute.
I don't want to.
Please, Cindy. We'll be right up. Please. There, that's a good girl. And close the kitchen door behind you.
Mr. Blister's dead. He isn't coming back. Ever. Ever. Daddy, it was me, but it was you. It was you!
Dimension X will continue in just a moment.
You know, friends, Breakfast of Champions is a whole lot more than a phrase written across a package of Wheaties. There's one thing I could tell you. I could tell you that it means champions in the world of sports eat Wheaties. And it's so true. You bet it is. But I've got a better idea, and one I think you'll like. I think perhaps you'd rather get the story from a champion himself. So here is a champion. Will you introduce him, Ed Prentice?
Now, young man, will you tell us what you do for a living?
I pitch.
You what?
Pitch. You know, baseball. If you have a baseball team, you have to have a pitcher. I'm a pitcher. I pitch.
Oh, yes, I see. And are you on a team?
Yes, sir. I'm on the Cleveland Indians.
Cleveland Indians, hmm? What is your name, young man?
I'm Bob Feller, and you know it as well as I do, Ed.
Sure I do, Bob. It's good to see you. This makes your 14th season playing with the Indians, doesn't it?
Yep, Ed. 14 years.
Well, tell me, Bob, how long have you been eating Wheaties?
Oh, about 20 years, give or take a couple.
You mean you started eating Wheaties before you started playing ball?
Why, of course. What's so strange about that? Most people start eating Wheaties before they get to playing ball. In fact, most people never start playing baseball. You don't have to be a ball player to enjoy the lift you get from Wheaties with milk and fruit.
You're right as rain, Bob. No champ ever said a truer word about Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions.
Eat your supper, dear.
I'm not hungry.
Oh, Cindy, you scarcely touched your lunch.
I don't feel like eating.
Is it Mr. Blister?
Oh, Mommy.
Cindy, answer your mother.
Now, Henry, she'll work it out in her own way, dear.
Oh, I don't know. When I was a boy, there was such a thing as discipline. Where this child is being brought up...
Henry!
Well, it's true. There's no respect. Lying. Oh, I don't know. Alma, what's happened to us? We were a nice, peaceful, happy family until you bought that cursed doll.
Now who's blaming things on the doll?
Well, it's true.
Henry. You wanted to get some papers from your strong box.
What? Oh, yes, excuse me.
Will you try to eat something, Cindy, now, darling?
Yes, ma'am.
Alma! Alma!
Yes, Henry, what is it?
Alma, it's gone.
What's gone?
The box, the strong box is gone.
Well, it can't be. The door to your study's always locked, and you and I have the only keys.
I know all that, and I tell you it isn't there.
Well, who would...
I don't know, Alma. Those confidential reports, if they ever get into the wrong hands...
Oh, I warned you about keeping them here.
Oh, what if it ever came out in the open? Can't you see the papers? Army colonel, derelict in duty.
Call the police, Henry.
What, and throw my career in the wastebasket after 17 years? And we've got to find it ourselves.
But it was there when I went in to clean this morning.
Well, what about your key?
Well, it's right here. I always keep it right with me. That's funny.
Oh, no.
But my other keys are all on the ring.
You've lost it.
I don't see how.
Alma, how could you do it?
Henry, please.
Come on, we'll search the house. I can't think of anything else to do.
Oh, dear, you're going to miss your staff meeting.
Well, all right, never mind the meeting. My whole career goes up in smoke if we don't find those reports. Now, somebody get hold of your key and open that room. I know, Cindy.
Oh, let the child alone. She's been through enough. You know she wouldn't do a thing like that.
I don't know anything anymore. I don't know my own child. I don't even know you.
Henry.
All I know is that strong box is gone with papers that are dynamite if the wrong person gets them. The question being who? What's that?
Coming from upstairs.
What's that blasted doll again?
Something must have set it off. I don't know how the mechanism works.
Well, for heaven's sake, let's go up and shut it off.
Right.
Stop it.
How do you do? How do you do?
Blasted little imp. There.
Henry.
Ever since we've got this thing...
Henry.
What?
Look.
Where? What?
Around the doll's neck. The key. The key to your study.
It was Cindy, after all.
I don't believe it.
Ever since she got this fool doll, she's been acting half insane. First the dog, now this. I think she hates us, Alma.
Henry, Cindy is my child, and I know her. I know she's a good, sensitive little person with no malice in her.
You're just simply refusing to face the facts, dear.
What are you going to do?
I'm going downstairs and have a talk with that young lady. Cindy, you're not telling me the truth.
Yes, I am, Daddy.
Now, all I'm asking is that you tell me the truth. Now, where is it?
I didn't take it, Daddy. Honest, I didn't take it.
I suppose you're going to tell me now that a little 6-inch doll took my strong box and hid it. Well? Cindy, I'm speaking to you.
I didn't take it, Daddy. You don't understand. Toto did it. Oh, he's terrible, awful. He says things. He says he's going to kill everybody.
Oh, Cindy, you're inventing things.
It's true. At night when I'm sleeping, he stands next to my pillow and whispers things to me. Awful things. He told me he'd kill me, too, if I told him.
Alma, I think this child is sick. I think she needs a doctor.
She's frightened, Henry. She's trembling like a leaf. Come on, darling. We'll go up to your room.
I don't want to
go up
there. No,
honey, Mommy will stay with you.
I'm afraid. He's up there.
Who, Cindy?
Toto.
Well, he won't be up there for long. Mr. Toto is going right back to Parigi's wonderful doll shop before I lose my sanity, which means right now.
Ah, Colonel Grayson. Welcome to the home of Parigi's wonderful doll.
Are you Parigi?
Santor Parigi, creator of the universal doll. The doll with the mind. The doll.
Yes,
with...
well, I'm returning one of your masterpieces.
Oh? If you will step into the rear of my shop. Now, what is the complaint?
There's no complaint. Here's your doll. Good riddance.
My little Toto, rejected, you found the world of men too filled with hate.
Hate!
We will change all that later on. Return to your comrades in the window, little one. And now... Colonel Grayson?
I think we have no further business, sir.
Ah, but we do, Colonel. Let me see. Ah, yes. Here it is. Do you recognize this, Colonel?
Well, that's my strong box. Where...
My little Toto is very clever, sir.
Are you trying to tell me your doll stole that from me?
Let us not say stole. I'm merely keeping it in custody.
What's your game, Parigi?
Blackmail. You give me what I want, I do not ruin your career.
Well, what do you want?
Information. We already know something from the reports of the War Department concerning a certain strange-looking sphere reported by one of your pilots.
What government do you represent?
I represent Parigi's wonderful dolls, none other.
I'm not so naive, sir.
Perhaps I should explain. Each man hides something from the world. Each man loves something more than life. With the help of my wonderful dolls, I obtain personal information which enables me to control the men who control the world. Men like you.
Hand over that strong box.
I warn you, I have a gun.
Give it to me.
You are being foolish. Put down that walking stick.
Now.
No closer.
Now. Hello. Give me the police. Hello. This is Colonel Henry Grayson. I've just killed a man. Parigi's doll shop, corner of 4th and Lexington. The body is in the rear. I'll wait for you. Shut up. Shut up, you little fiend!
Colonel Grayson!
Did I hear you speak?
Colonel Henry Grayson!
Oh, it can't be. I must be going out of my mind. A 6-inch doll... Shut up! Your master's dead!
You are mistaken, Colonel. I, Toto, am the master.
What do you mean?
If you will examine the body of Santo Parigi, you will see that he does not bleed. And he does not bleed, Colonel, because Santo Parigi never lived.
Never lived?
Santo Parigi is a doll.
A doll? But he's a man. He talks. He walks.
The people of Meretrix are skillful doll builders.
Meretrix? Doll builders? Who are you?
I am Xanthus Imperator, commander of the legions of the third planetoid, Meretrix.
Legions? Planetoid?
My people and I, whom you regard as dolls, come from a tiny planet beyond the moon.
What?
So small that it cannot support our population.
That's true.
We landed one of our space spheres on Earth 3 months ago with the intention of colonizing. Unfortunately, one of your pilots intercepted us.
So that's why you wanted our information.
Precisely.
And you are human?
Quite human. Of course, in order to deal with Earth people without suspicion, we were forced to construct Parigi, a man-sized doll.
No, it can't be. I can't believe this. I'm having hallucinations. I've got to get out of here.
That will be impossible. We have weapons of destruction quite unknown to Earth people.
I phoned the police. They'll be here soon.
By the time they arrive, my people will have prepared something quite shocking.
Keep me covered, Brian.
Okay, Sarge.
All right. You the guy who turned in the call?
Yes, that's right, Sergeant.
Where's the body?
Well, you see, it isn't exactly a body.
What do you mean?
It's a doll.
A what?
Now, wait, you've got to let me explain. I know this sounds fantastic, but I've stumbled onto an unbelievable plot.
Yeah? Keep talking.
Well, you see, these little dolls, they aren't really dolls. They're tiny people. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a big doll named Santo Parigi. They're using him as a front to run the shop.
He's off his trolley, Sarge.
Now, look here.
Now, listen, mister, we got to call it. There was a murder here. Now, if there was one, where is the body?
Well, it's behind the curtains in the back. Only, you see, it isn't really a body. It's a big wax dummy. It's all part of their plot to gain control of the world.
Holy smoke, he's really off his rocker.
Now, look, if you don't believe me, I'll prove it to you. Come here. Look behind this curtain, and you'll see the dummy lying on the floor.
Welcome, gentlemen. Are you looking for something?
Parigi! This is impossible. I smashed his skull.
Do you know this guy?
That's the one, the doll.
What's your name, mister?
Parigi, Santo Parigi, creator of the universal doll.
Uh-huh. You ever see this man?
Never until just now.
That's not true. He's lying. I tell you, he's nothing but a big doll. The real masters are the little dolls.
Ryan, are you getting this?
He's wacko, Sarge. No, he's a fruitcake.
I'm not crazy, I tell you. I can prove it. They must have fixed up his head where I smashed it in. Touch him and you'll see.
Mr. Parigi, do you know what this guy is talking about?
The man is demented, obviously.
No, that's not true. I tell you, there's a plot to control the Earth. I've got to call the War Department. They want to know about the flying sphere.
Holy mackerel, this gets worse every minute. Ryan.
Take him to headquarters.
No, save some time. Take him down to Psycho Ward.
Okay, all right, Buck Rogers. Come along nice and quiet.
No, don't you see? He's nothing but a man-sized doll.
Sure, sure. And the little ones are going to take over the Earth, and you're going away and cut out some nice paper dolls.
Oh, please, listen to me. You've got to listen to me. You've got to...
Sorry you had all this trouble, Mr. Parigi.
Poor chap. He is obviously suffering from delusions.
Well, he's not the only one in Washington today. You know, we've been getting a whole string of crack-ups lately. Bigwigs blowing their tops under pressure. If you could see some of the names in our confidential files...
You keep confidential files on cases like this?
Certainly. Believe me, they'd be dynamite if they ever got in the wrong hands. Well, I better be running along. Hey, is that a talking doll?
Yes, Sergeant.
My name is Toto. I dance and sing.
Well, I'll be. Hey, my little girl would be nuts for that.
So? Then please accept the doll for saving my life. That madman might have killed me.
Yes, but I...
Take Toto home with you as a gift.
Well, I don't know, Mr. Parigi. It's against regulations for us to accept favors.
But this is not for you. It is for your little daughter. And if you will only take the doll and give him a good home, you will be doing me a great favor.
Well, then, if you insist, and thanks very much. When my kid sees this, will she be surprised?
Yes, Toto will come as a great surprise. A very great surprise. Hey, Toto?
Tonight, Dimension X has transcribed Parigi's Wonderful Dolls, an original radio drama written by George Lefferts. Les Damon appeared as Colonel Grayson and Joan Alexander as Alma, with Denise Alexander as Cindy. Joe DeSantis played Santo Parigi, and Leon Janti was Toto, the talking doll. Engineer Bill Chambers, your narrator was Norman Rose. Music by Albert Berman. Dimension X is produced by Van Woodward and directed by Edward King. In a moment, we'll tell you about next week's show. And now, here is your Wheaties man, Frank Martin.
Look at your Wheaties in a cereal bowl, and, well, they look pretty innocent, don't they? They're crisp, all right, and golden brown. And you know they've got that wonderful Wheaties nut-like taste. But where does all that energy come from? What is it about Wheaties that give you all those vitamins and minerals and protein? I'll tell you what it is. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. Not just a portion of a kernel, mind you, but a whole kernel of wheat. Now, that begins to explain things, doesn't it? Tells you why Wheaties Energy helps you feel good all morning long, like I keep saying. No wonder they're America's favorite whole wheat flakes, breakfast of champions and all that. Now you know why Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. Wheaties.
Next week, the strange story of a curse that came true. It's the story of the castaways, another adventure into the unknown world of tomorrow. The world of...
Dimension X.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen Saturday, that's tomorrow night, to Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.
Don't you dare change that dial. Coming up next is the Saturday Morning Show, just for you on CKUW.